Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming this morning to share, both people who are here now, people live, people who will be watching this later. Today's share is entitled Three Women in Halachic Peril, Fascinating Rabbinic Solutions. And really the credit to today's share goes to somebody I looked up to in yeshiva, a few years older than me, a Rav named Rav Akiva Males. And really, you know, different Rabbanim have different careers. Some Rabbanim have the regular, you know, dedicated rabbi who wears many hats, right? He could officiate at a wedding in the morning, you know, in the evening, a funeral in the morning, visit people in the hospital, nursing homes, you know, throughout the day. So much a Rav has to do, really many, many hats. But some Rabbanim also wear a hat, you might say a little bit, you know, some fedora, some maybe Indiana Jones, I don't know. Some Rabbanim just have just the most incredible stories. If they travel on a plane, the craziest people sit next to them on a plane. If they're shopping in Publix, in the supermarket, people just come over to them. And they're a magnet for stories. My friend Rabbi Males is... from just what I've seen him write about over the years, is somebody that has a lot of stories and is an involved rabbi, a caring rabbi, that these things just happen. And really what pushed me to give this share, within 1 week span, I got two stories from this Rabbi Males. One was a story that he published and was spread Zecher Nishmas of Nota Greenblatt, who we'll talk about in a moment, one of the biggest poskim in America in the past century, who it just came up to his first year at site just a few weeks ago. He was a big Talmud of Moshe Feinstein. I'll talk more about him in a moment. And the other story came in last week's Mishpacha magazine, where they published an article about Rabbi Males and a story that he dealt with. Today's share is going to be unique in that I want to tell over these stories and really analyze them from the halachic perspective, clarify such fascinating, fascinating stories and the solution. Now, Rabbi Males has a schus, he's the Rav of Young Israel in Memphis. That itself is a reason how he had a connection to this Rav Nota Greenblatt. Rav Nota Greenblatt, for decades upon decades, lived in Memphis. Actually, him together with his uncle, the Rivervale Sephraim, Ephraim Greenblatt. Two tremendous, tremendous, tremendous poskim. And Rav Nota Greenblatt was really behind the scenes, taking care of kashrus of... on the highest level, kashrus of marriages, of the yichus of Klal Yisrael. He literally traveled kamat till his dying day, when he was nifter close to 100. He traveled across America multiple times a week. His son told me it was an insane amount that he kept travel logs. The amount of places he traveled in 1 week. And we're not talking to the big cities, he did that too, but to the smallest spots on the American map where you never expected Jews to live. You never expected these people were Jewish. But he found them, and he worked out issues with Gittin, Kedushin, and the like. And really, America, American Jewry, owes a tremendous debt of gratitude to Nota Greenblatt. And we'll see from the stories today a little more of a glimpse about him. Be'ez Hashem, someday we have to do a full halachic tribute on such a person. and Rabbi Mails learned from him and was inspired from him just in his few short years that I think Rabbi Mails came to, he tells a story here, he came, you know, in 2017. But I don't remember exactly when he was previously a Rav in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But he had a connection with him and definitely much inspiration from him. So the way I'm gonna structure today's share is tell over two stories with their challenges, and then one by one go through the halachic solutions to them. Okay. I'll start with a story. This is the one that was featured in last week's Mishpacha magazine. Rabbi Mails, who I have been in contact with since last week, tells a story of a friend of his from yeshiva. Some I probably know who the person is, but he didn't list his real name in the story. So he lives in Brooklyn, New York. And this friend of Rabbi Mails, Talmud from Chafetz Chaim, is involved in one of the partners in Torah, one of these wonderful programs they have, pairing up religious Jews with non-religious, not as advanced Yidden. And he was learning with somebody over a span of years. And within their conversations and learning, the Ben Torah was talking to this Jew, and it came out that this Jew was once married, but he never gave a get to his wife. He divorced her legally, but never gave her a get. Now, one thing this Ben Torah looked into, asked the person, when you got married, who married you off? Oh, I got married, you know, full Jewish wedding, let's say in the middle of Borough Park. Yeah, the legit full Jewish wedding. But this person, not being from and the like, divorced that wife, but never gave her a get. Now, this Ben Torah is learning with this person, slowly bring him closer, you know, to Torah, you know, the Torah. Asked him, okay, you know, can you, would you be willing to give your wife a get? Surprisingly, the person said, yeah, sure. Except, it seems they didn't know exactly where she lived. Somewhere in Tennessee. So thus, the Ben Torah was reaching out to Rabbi Mails, his friend from yeshiva. He knows some guy, some Rav, Chofetz Chaim guy, Rav in Tennessee. Hey, maybe you could help with this case. Give the person's name. She lives somewhere in Tennessee. Right? You think Tennessee is like a small little, you know. That is case number one. Problems. Issues. How do you deal with this?
Did he marry?
Huh? Did he remarry? So, good question. The issue, right, of course, is well, did she remarry or not? I skim through the article. I'm not sure if it says that detail. I have to look through better. But we'll talk about that.
The assumption, I assume, was that he didn't realize that he should have given her a gift.
Correct. Right. The person, unfortunately, wasn't knowledgeable. He got married, but didn't know the halachas. Now of giving a get, and he's learning with a Ben Torah, and he tells him, okay, you have to give a get. Oh, forgot that one in the checklist. Now what? That's case number one. Case number two, I'm building up. A little more hairy. Rabbi Mails tells a story. One winter night, he visits Rav Nata Greenblatt, the local Rav, And they were talking about, you know, Jews spread out all across America. Rav Nata, I'll show you some pictures after the share. Rav Nata leaned back on his chair and says, oh, I'll tell you a story. In the early 1970s, a couple visited myself and my wife to share good news. This couple was slightly affiliated with the shul, the Orthodox shul, but they themselves weren't really observant. Okay, this happens across America. But they were very close to the Greenblatts themselves, the Rav and his Rebbetzin. They're close to them. So they came to share, you know, Baruch Hashem, our daughter got married. Got engaged. All such wonderful news. Welcome them. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And also, as a kavod, as an honor, they asked Rabbi Greenblatt, we want to invite you to the wedding, you know, and we would like for you to serve as the Masada Kedushin. Honored, wow, beautiful, wonderful, sure. Put it in my calendar. Great. As the Rabbi Mills writes, Rav Nata leaned closer to me and said, now listen to what happened next. A day or two later, Rav Nata get a phone call from the bride's mother. She sounded distraught, and Rav Nata invited her, you come to my house, we can talk in person. Once seated in Rav Nata's study, this woman burst out in tears. Burst out in tears. Took a while for her to compose herself. After she gets herself in order, she says, Rabbi, I have to tell you a secret that nobody knows, including my husband. When I was young, years ago, I grew up somewhere over there in the south, the country there. And, you know, me and all my friends, we knew we were Jewish, but we had no connection to Yiddish guy. Nobody went to synagogue. It was nothing. But, you know, there were a few people, little pockets. And there was one person in town, we called him the Reverend. And he, like, you know, knew some things about Judaism and stuff. Anyway, she was already an older teenager. And there was a group of guys and girls that were, let's call it, friendly, maybe too friendly with each other. And this reverend knew about the situation, and he encouraged them. She got married. So fine, that's what this lady did. She got married. The reverend married her to her boyfriend of the time. Got married. The marriage didn't last too long. And eventually they got divorced. This woman, since then, got her life more in order. She settled down, she matured, and she met her current husband. And the next 20, 25 years have been absolute bliss. Until now she realized her daughter is engaged to get married, and there might be an issue because she never got a get from the first husband. Bosai, before this story, we had one woman in peril. Now we have three women in halachic peril. If this woman did not get a get from that first husband, the daughter born from that union is a mamzeres, is considered in halacha an illegitimate child, which is unfixable. And she herself would be considered a sota, a woman who strayed from the path of her husband. She would not be allowed to go back to her husband. Two stories, three women in halachic peril. This is what Rabbanim have to deal with. These are big, sticky situations. Can you imagine you're of Nata Greenblatt in that situation? This woman came to you two nights ago to announce her daughter being engaged, simcha and everything. And then in the moment of truth, it hit her situation, and she clandestinely comes back 2 nights later to unbear herself, tell her the situation. Her daughter's future is in peril. Her future is in peril. Tune in to what happened. But let's go back to the first case. This is not a movie. This is real life. Real life is better. Always. So let's go back to the first case. Here you have a nice Ben Torah who's sitting and learning with some partner in Torah, some irreligious Jew somewhere in the country. They learn by phone, they learn by Zoom, whatever, Skype. And he reveals that he never gave a get to his wife. Let's start assuming, for simplicity's sake, that she did not yet get remarried. Okay, but wife lives somewhere else in America. Like, this guy is like, he's not searching. He himself is not determined enough to take care of this himself. He needs someone else to do it. And he doesn't have a rav. He has this one person, who's helping him. Now, the person helping him did the right thing by, getting involved. But I assume the person's not a full-time rav. And he's doing this as his chesed on the side. And what happened? The person's living a life. Things happen. He was busy, switched jobs, moved, I don't know. And he didn't learn, or vice versa, the protagonist in the story, the person needs to give a get, got busy, and he stopped learning his chavrusa for the next few months. And this case drags out. Obviously, with something like this, every day is literally a bomb ticking. Right? The moment the woman decides to find somebody and get remarried, we have problems. So what happens? So this Ben Torah looked into where this person lived, and it found out that the ex-wife, I'm not even sure we should call it ex-wife because she didn't get a get, but that first wife, right, the first wife of the non-firm person lived in a place called Murph's Freeboro, Tennessee. I'll say that again. That's what it's called. But it's spelled Murfreesboro. Sounds like Murph's Freeboro, okay? You've been there. Kananahara, we have people in Kashrus that also travel the landscape of America. But I'm sorry, but I never heard of Murph's Freeboro, Tennessee, okay? Crazy. Now, just because you live in Memphis doesn't mean you... know anything. Anyway, this Rabbi Mails put this Ben Torah in contact with another Rav who's involved a lot with Gittin, and they looked into this all. And okay, Rabbi Mails, got back to his regular Rabbanus, what he was doing. Rabbi Mails happens to also work in a local high school. He's involved with the school, and they invite him to come, he's a great speaker, to come on their annual Shabbaton. That particular year, the school usually goes skiing, Tennessee, why not? Nice trip. That year was a very bad snow year, and they couldn't go skiing. But what ended up happening was they decided to make a trip, do rafting, do some other stuff in some other spot. Usually they actually travel across, I think, state lines to go skiing in some other spot in the Rocky Mountains. But they figured, okay, if we're not going to ski, we don't have to go as far, but it's still, we should go away. So they found some spot. Anyway, so they're preparing for this trip. Rabbi Mills is teaching one day, and he gets a call from the Rav who was getting involved in this get case with his friend the Ben Torah. And the Rav, who's a Rav who deals also extensively with Gittin, calls him up and says, Rabbi Mills, did you ever hear of a place called Murfreesboro? He's like, yeah, that's where we're going on this trip with my school. Never stepped foot there in his life just because he lived in Memphis. There's, right? Why is that significant? So big deal. Here's the deal. Again, our non-illigious Jew is not interested, he's not traveling the country to go and give his wife a get. That much, he's not, that committed he's not. If you set it up for him, Kashulchan Aruch, pun intended, okay, he'll go and do it. So he devised the following scheme. If we have a shliach, a messenger, deliver the get, get the get from him, and then we'll deliver it to her, or her messenger, okay, then we could put it together. But one of the trickiest parts of this type of thing is anytime you're dealing with gittin, you need to have eidos, kosher eidos. For example, okay, when the person writes the get, and it's put together, obviously you need eidim to sign the get, but just the husband giving it over to a shliach also needs eidos, right? You look on your sheets, I put down basic halachas of gittin, Eben Ezer, Simon Kuf Mem, Ish oshes shliach laholach get leishto, v'zenik shliach halacha, v'ina get ashigia get liyada. That you look in the halacha and halacha ches, kishihi osa shliach kabbal, atzrichalas osa b'fshnei shnei edim, b'tzarach lekabal get b'fnei edim, you have to give over the get, accept the get in front of two edim. Who are then, they talk about shlichus la'alacha. The shliach could sometimes be considered an aid. Okay? But you need eidos for all these steps of the process. How many from kosher Jews for eidos do you think Murfreesboro, Tennessee has?
How old were the boys on this trip?
Yes, yes, yes. But the one time, probably in the history of Murfreesboro in the past hundreds of years, I don't know what happened in the first, you know. There was a whole group.
The burger was just there.
There was a whole group of Jewish kids, and even better, their rebbes came with them on this trip. Rabbi Mills was able to execute a get. Given, now, okay, how did the get from New York to Murfreesboro? FedExed. Right? Okay. But then he had to be mekabel to get it. And but the huh? This just happened.
Oh, this just happened.
Just that's a nice caveat, unfortunately. Yes. This is dealing with the world without Rabbi Greenblatt. This story happened just recently. But because the yeshiva was there, the guys were there with Rebbeim and this, so they actually told all the boys about the story, and you know they asked if you mind if people observe this, and they did it. Years ago, when the yeshiva was learning Maseches Gittin, I had the schus. I've mentioned this in the shirim before. I'm so happy I took advantage of it. But Lehrfeld offered me, if I ever want to see Gittin practically, I could come by. I brought with a share of Talmidim, and we actually watched two gittin that Rabbi Lerfeld performed in his house. It's such an amazing sight. And, you know, and he did a good job. He told the people, the parties involved, he's like, you know when you go to a hospital and there are doctor, young doctors, trainees observing? These are young rabbis. They want to observe the get. Right? It was great. And it was so much fascinating, practical halacha to see. So the boys on this Shabbaton ended up with an extra trick, but it's not easy, right? You have so many cases, I'm sure, like this. The person's not from, didn't give a get, he's not that willing to necessarily deliver a get, take care of the get, but if someone does it for him, okay, but it's not an easy thing to put together a get. If we had Rav Nata, we could do anything. But let me get to the other case. Again, the other case, more complicated. The woman got remarried. There were kids. And there's a timeline. They're supposed to get this girl's engaged. What do you do? You find out that the mother got remarried without a get. There's mamzerish issues. There's sota issues. What do you do? Now,
who is this reverend?
Who is this reverend? Right. Excellent question, right? Really, these type of shilas are so fascinating because they're investigative shilas. Alan, we're going to need an investigative team, right? So you start asking questions. Okay, right. Who is this reverend who performed the marriage ceremony? Who potentially were the witnesses that were involved in the situation? And we have to look into it. But we're talking about something that happened decades ago. And lav dafka, there are records and things, and, you know, it didn't sound like she had her ksuba. So what do you do? So Rav Nata had Knainahara tremendous connections all across America. And there was a dedicated Jewish woman who lived right near the Mississippi River, not far from where this distraught mother had grown up. How Rav Nata had a relationship with some lady living by the Mississippi River, Rabbi Mails tells that's an incredible story for another occasion. Okay, Rabbi Mails, we have more shirim. Now, that she knew everything. Mama, you know, you have to know the right people. So, next thing you knew, Rav Nata contacted this woman, asking if she knew this community where the distraught mother grew up in. She said, yeah, sure. Now, he's doing this all without telling her the background of the case, which is important too. Now, then he asked her, were any people in that town Shabbos observant? She told him, unfortunately not. Nobody was Shomer Shabbos. And their stores are open in Shabbos and Yom Tov, no question about it. Then he asked, what about the reverend? So she said, oh, I knew of him. He passed away a few years ago, but his daughter still lives there. He got from her the daughter's contact information. Rav Nata got in his car and was gone. Later that day, I don't know if there's anyone who logged more hours across America, even, you know, the insurance salesman. Rav Nata pulled into the small town. Rav Nata, the way Rav Nails tells over the story, Rav Nata then, as this part of the story, looks in, has a little grin in his eyes. He says, here's where I pulled some good stuff. I told this lady, the daughter of the reverend, I'm researching her father for an article. Rav Nata said, I didn't tell that it was a halachic article that I planned to write. But yeah, so of course she was all excited. So Rav Nata went and spoke to the daughter of the reverend and got information. Hey, were people in the town, Shomer Shabbos? No, nothing. What about, now, let me stop here for a second and jump to halachic steps involved. Really, this what Rav Nata got from here, perhaps, what makes this case more challenging than some other tshuvas that Rav Moshe wrote on the topic is different. Rav Moshe had multiple tshuvas where he undid Kedushin that was performed by non-from Jews. And Rav Moshe's big hatter, and it was a big deal. Rav Moshe wrote tshuvas in the 1950s. I believe, you go through the time frame, these tshuvas, right? Rav Hinken was, right, I don't have to prove, it says Beferish in the tshuva. Rav Hinken was alive. Remember, we've talked about this in Shirim. When Rav Hinken was alive, he was the default posik of America. Rav Moshe was younger. And many things Rav Moshe, stood back to Rav Hinken. In this particular area, Rav Moshe Medina was ready to argue with Rav Hinken about. Rav Hinken would say in all these little reform conservative things you need to get. Rav Moshe had a couple of chedushim to say that the people themselves were in Shomer Torah mitzvahs. There's a rivash, he bases some things on the bottom of your sheet. Rav Moshe has that if the Edom were apostle, the reform rabbi. But here, perhaps, Rabbi Niels told me, it seems he was in contact with a very chush of a Rav that found out about his stories and they're discussing it. And this Rav was theorizing, could be Rabbi Niels, this case, not the Greenblatt said, was even more complicated because he's not dealing with a regular Reform rabbi. This wasn't a Reform rabbi. It was a person in the town. I mean, it's not so easy to mavatal this person's Kedushin. So you can look in the bottom, you'll see these tshuvas from Rav Moshe. But one second. He keeps on the conversation up. He's talking to this woman more and more about, Jewish life back then and her father and what he was doing. And she said, yeah. He asked her very smartly, would your father, when he, your father did a lot of marriages? Yeah, sure. Would he ever bring in Jews from other towns to serve as witnesses at these weddings? She said, no. He used the local people, the honorable people in town, but the local people. Interesting. And he's asking more and more about the wedding ceremonies. At one point, this woman says, hey, I still have my marriage document. Would you like to see it? Right, or not sure. She goes to the back, brings it, dusts off her own ksuba from years ago. She looks at it. Nata is reading every detail, looking at it. He gets to the bottom of the ksuba. Who signed in the ksuba? Oh, this person. Oh, he was an honorable man. The president of the bank signed it. Oh, very nice. And who's the other person? She was saying, my wedding was so beautiful. My father, to have your father officiate at your own wedding. Such a beautiful thing. This. And who's the second witness? Oh, that's a signature of none other than my father himself. My father himself signed. Rav Nata had to control his glee. He said, really? Your father signed on you? That's so interesting. He asked the lady permission, would you mind if I go to the Walgreens and make a copy of this? This is the 1970s, okay? Sure. And he travels to the Walgreens and, makes a copy. Well, exactly the 1970s when they had copies, they told me. I don't know. But that's what they say. He got a copy, a Xerox. Who knows exactly what he got? But he got one. Gave it back to the woman, thanked her so much, and was on the next plane to New York City. Where do you think, which address did he go to? Let me see. Hold on one second. I have it in here. No. He went to the address 455 FDR Drive. Address of Rabbi M. Feinstein. 455 FDR Drive. Tells the story over to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe listens carefully to every detail that Rav Natan tells him of the case. This and then they use local people. So far, Rav Moshe wasn't moved. They got to the final detail, and on the ksuba was signed the father himself as an aide. Rav Moshe said, "Oh my. Such amaratzis. Who doesn't know that the most basic element of eidos is you can't be a karev, you can't be a relative. Who would sign as a witness on his own daughter's ksuba? It's poshut, anything this reverend did is batel mevatel. It never was a marriage. The woman is free and did not need a get. She saved, her daughter saved."
So you could rabbi question.
Amazing.
So you could extrapolate that he didn't know what he was doing.
That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin based on this. Now, I should have given this warning beforehand. What I just described, Rav Moshe Feinstein did, is probably the hardest thing in Judaism, halachic Judaism, to be able to do. Right? It's probably easier to produce mon min hashamayim or to split the yamsuf. Right? To matter an ashes ish is the most chomer thing. And I will say this again and again, do not try this at home. You can't do this. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Galo Hador, with his shoulders, and you see Rav Nata, you know, he had the case clear to him, but what did he do? He jumped on the next plane, 455 FDR Drive. He wouldn't pass this himself. But Maisa, Rav Moshe and Rav Nata were able to literally save the day. I'll take a few questions and then I'll end off.
So this is because of extenuating circumstances. Ordinarily, the presumption would be that the marriage is valid.
Right. Rav Moshe does write in the tshuva, even though he argues Medina with Rav Hinkin, he does, in these type of cases, always ask, you know, if you could get a get. But this is a case, you couldn't get a get, it was over. She was remarried already. Yeah.
Rabbi Feinstein's house.
Yes. Yes.
That's the go-to procedure with complicated getting. You go right to the edim from the original.
Right.
But in this case, I think I may have missed something. I know that by a lot of conservative rabbis, when this happens, they go back, they find accidentally the witness of the Aiding are kosher.
Right. So you're right. It's very tricky. Right. Very good question. All the Rav Moshe saw in this particular case was the Aiding on the Ksuba, not the Aiding of the Kedusha. But Rav Moshe, you're right, extrapolated that if this reverend is running the show, he's clueless. So you have the right to assume he did it wrong. And there weren't from people around. Now you're right, it's a slippery slope because there were people connected with the conservative movement who were orthodox in the 1950s. This is less than that. This is some town by the Mississippi River. Not much doing over there. And you're right, you need a postic like Rav Moshe to make such a step and to make these halachic assumptions, halachic solutions, or this is the thing to do. Yes?
I was going to ask if Rav Moshe would have matured a woman after the Edom at her wedding were a man and his daughter, because I've seen that as the two witnesses.
Yeah, that would pass. Nimsa. Eda Shabbat L'Miksasa, Bat L'Kula. Yeah, 100%. Now let me end off And I think, you know, you hear stories like this, these two stories, I think it really puts in perspective, in general, what Rabbanim are. They're really tremendous heroes of what they do behind the scenes, helping keep us all Jewish. But it gives just a whole other outlook to what the Gedolei Poskim are. Our Poskim are just so great and literally saving lives. With a decision like this, you're saving lives. And but there, you know, this is a time, luckily, the Moshe was able to save. Unfortunately, there are cases which you can save. And what's even more depressing was the postscript there of Natak Greenblatt said to the story. He told the story over a winter night to this Rabbi Mails. It's 5 years ago. He said, what's so sad about a story like this is it doesn't happen anymore. And the reason why these stories don't happen anymore, if not the said, is you go back 50 years ago, you had Jews that knew enough. They might have known in their time, quote unquote, nothing. But they knew enough to say, to come crying to the rabbi after their daughter gets engaged, I didn't get a get. Nowadays, America is more like the first case. They're clueless. They didn't even know they needed a get. The only reason in that first story, you know, luckily this person who was distanced from Yiddishkeit signed up for Partners in Torah or for Ura's connections, and he's talking to Ben Torah, he's talking to some kol guy, and it comes out, he's knowledgeable, wow, you learned something. But there's so many Jews, and I think this is a lesson for all of us. We come in contact with Jews, and you know, people like to show, especially in the business world, oh, I'm also Jewish, also this. But if we could ever be in a situation where we could encourage something like this to make sure it gets given, to make sure, you know, things are done well, you don't know how much heartache you are saving later. It's a tremendous mitzvah when you interact with irreligious Jews that we should all, this is the most minimal. 50 years ago, people knew you got to get married by a rabbi. Unfortunately, in today's world, it's far from it. But Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zocha soon to the day, Umal Aretz Deyas Hashem. The world knows Hashem. The world knows Hashem's Torah. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should find more people learning Torah, more halakhic solutions for all these situations. Amen. Thank you.